Amen. And amen. 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 We're keeping with what Pastor Josh started, I think, 3 weeks ago. This is the third week of it. He started on this motivational gifts about the gifts of the Spirit. And he started out by saying that, you know what, over here in the fivefold ministry gift, we have the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, and some are called to that ministry. Not everybody's going to have a pulpit ministry. Over here in the manifestation gift, we have the tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, gift of faith, gift of healings, working of miracles, or explosions of almightiness. I heard it defined one way. And those are the manifestation gifts, and they can operate in a corporate setting, or whether you're out there in the marketplace talking to people, God can give you a word of wisdom for somebody right there at that moment. And God uses some of them in that way. Over here in the motivational gifts, everybody got one of these. Everybody. And you're dominant in one of them. You got the gift of prophecy, you have serving, you have teaching, you have encouraging, giving, leading, organizing, and showing mercy. And that's why I have this today. And I got a dingy towel just to show you I've been serving. Every one of us has one of those gifts. And some have a combination of those gifts. But there's only one that's going to be dominant in your life. And that's why we did in the month of March, we did the spiritual gift survey for all the members of the church, because we wanted to help you begin to clarify how God has gifted you and how he's called you to serve. Now, it's my personal belief that in the area of serving, that is the largest gift in the body of Christ, because there's so much need for it. That's my personal opinion. I don't have facts to substantiate that, but that's just my personal opinion. I'm not changing for anybody. Okay? But anyway, I want to ask you, if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. I'll be reading verses 3 through 8, which Pastor Josh has read for the past 2 weeks. And I'll be reading it out of the NIV translation. And while you're turning, I want to alert you to, there's a flyer in the cafe for a Drummers World Performing Arts. They're going to have some registration starting May the 1st, 2nd, and the 3rd. And they came on football Sunday. You remember the drum team that came in here and was on it? Y'all, how many remember that? Drum team came in here and set it off. Anyway, they're going to have Alondo Mitchell. They're going to be doing the registration for those who kids want to get into dancing, want to get into playing the drums or anything like that. So check the flyer out and see the dates and times and the prices and all that. And if you got a kid that want to get involved, that might be something worthwhile. Today, I'm reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, NIV. It says for this: "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. And as an aside, don't think of yourself more low than you should. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." So as I said, my title today is Serving. And to give you an object lesson, I wanted to dress somewhat like a waiter in a high, you know, one of them high sedity upscale restaurants. Okay, I just call it what it is. No, I'm not talking down about them. But anybody, you come in and you say, "How may I help you?" You might be standing there, okay? And so I want you to be able to look at me today and in your mind, picture somebody that's serving, okay? Picture somebody that's serving. Now, as I mentioned, all of us have a gift. Everybody has a gift. And one of these gifts is dominant in your life. And for me, I think I scored out the highest in serving. I scored out the highest in serving. And there's others in here that share with me the scores on their tests and say, "You know what, Rob, I think Christy was telling me today. She was telling me, you know, I scored out. I'm looking forward to this because I scored really high in serving. I think Gabriel up there in the booth scored out. As a matter of fact, he did, because he's up there serving now." Ain't that right about it? All right. But anyway, so Pastor Josh gave the illustration the first week. He talked about a waiter that dropped a plate of food in your lap and how each one of these gifts would respond to it. The gift of prophecy, serving, all these gifts would respond. And I don't have that here today. But you remember where somebody drop a plate of food in your lap, the prophet's going to be like, "What are you doing?" The teacher's going to say, "I think you need to adjust your grip. You might need to hold the plate with two hands instead of one." But what if you got a big plate and you have small hands? Anyway, the server's going to be somebody trying to clean it up. Anybody got that trait about him? Want to clean it up? Want to make things better? The encouragers say, oh, my friend, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's not as bad as you really think, okay? And all these, I'm not going to go through the rest of them, but I started to come in here with a bucket of water and just douse some people with it, but I figured that might not be a good idea. So I tabled that and said, I'm going to just stick with the paper here. Now, if you look here in Romans chapter 12, there are seven gifts listed here. And Pastor talked about these gifts are seven being the number of completion. And I thought about something this week as I was studying and preparing and praying about this. These gifts are to complete,
amen,
not compete.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And I've seen this in my own life and the life of others, that because a person is gifted in serving and not in the gift of mercy, then rather than them completing one another and helping one another, they start to bicker and fight, not realizing that this is only one body and we all serving in the same body and we all got a role to play. And your role is just as important as mine is. So I'm not to fight against you, nor are you to fight against me. Can I get a witness out there?
Amen.
Amen. All right. So anyway, as I go on through my notes here, I'm going to define for you what serving is. I think about a server, which is a person who serves. I think about the verb to serve, which is a rendering of service to someone, or the very thing, service itself. Like Gabriel was performing up there today, operating behind the scenes. Wave at us, Gabriel. Everybody look back there at him if you can see him up there at the top. Hey, Gabriel.
Hey.
All right. So Gabriel's serving up there in the capacity. Right beside him is Robin. Wait a minute, let me pull my glasses down. That's Robin up there and her husband, Denny. And Robin serves us in the cafe. And Denny serves us in running the audio for the service.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? I got some other people. There's somebody that's not even in the room right now, but they're serving us by watching our back. Jane Moore, I'm waving at you. Even though I can't see you, I'm waving at you. I'm waving at you, Jane. He here because he out there watching on the monitor down in the children's wing. Also, Patricia. Where's Patricia at? There she go. Let me pull my glasses down. Let me tell you something. Now, I don't want to just make anybody stand out more than anybody else, but I just want to acknowledge Patricia right here because every Sunday morning she gets here about 8:30 or so, and she starts preparing breakfast for the kids and for the pastor's breakfast. And I'm telling you, that's a feat not many others are willing to do. But she comes faithfully, and she's got a team with her, Stacy and Glenda and Angela, AB, a bunch of others that come in and serve alongside with her to help feed the kids as well as those that come for the pastor's breakfast. That's a practical example right there. Somebody else I want to mention to you is myself. I wasn't going to do it, but I figured I'd do it anyway. Because she didn't laugh. Anyway, I serve as a musician, a singer, and a general noisemaker on the praise team. Okay? Just general, might take off running like I did the other week and just having a good time. I just want you to be excited about Jesus. But anyway, so my goal today is I have three goals today. Number one, I want to cover our model for serving. Who do you think I'm going to talk about?
Jesus.
J-E-S-U-S. Jesus the Christ. I'm going to talk about him and go through some scriptures and pull out some things. But I'm also going to share with you seven characteristics of the life of a server from the example that Martha gives us. Anybody know Martha? Mary and Martha? Y'all have heard some things about Martha? And the last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pull out some contemporary examples, which means people that are right around you right now, every day, people that you rub elbows with. I'm going to pull out some examples so you can see firsthand, that's not as hard as I thought it was. Okay? So y'all ready? Strap your seatbelt on. Let's get ready to ride. So Jesus is our model for serving. And I like for the scripture to be on the screen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7 says this here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in who? Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. I want you to think about this here. Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh.
Amen.
Came and dwelt among us, John, the first chapter says. Yet, though he is the Son of God, though he is God manifested in the flesh, he made himself of no reputation. He didn't come and say, I'm here. I'm the Son of God. Bow down. He didn't do that. But he came and stepped up on the scene and he took a towel and donned it. Made himself of no reputation, taking upon himself the form of a bondservant. He came to serve. You know what? There's another scripture where he gives his own testimony in Mark the 10th chapter. This is his own words concerning himself. He said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many. The context of that is this. few verses up, James and John had been jockeying for positions of power. They came, they wanted to have the seat on the right and the left of Jesus. They thought that if they followed Jesus, they were going to be somebody great. But Jesus had to correct that thinking. He said, look here, if you want to be the greatest, you're going to have to serve. And I've been telling the men in the small group, both in the Kingdom Man study and also this past Wednesday night for the past 3 weeks we've been meeting, that it's not about how many serve you, but how many you serve. Anybody serving somebody today? Anybody serving today? Anyway, so I got let me give you one more example. This is the attitude and posture of Jesus according to John chapter 13, verses 3 through 5. It reads as follows. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Now, some churches today practice foot washing. And it's more symbolic to represent how Jesus served. But in this day and time, foot washing had a practical need and application. See, the people walked everywhere, or they rode a donkey, or they rode a camel, but they walked on dusty roads. Anybody grew up in the country, you know about walking up dusty roads. You know what a dusty road is. But guess what? They shared those roads with animals. Sheep, goats, camels, all kind of beasts. And you know what animals do? Need I say more? Okay, so animals eat and then they do what they do. So we walk along the same roads here, and these animals have left some stuff behind. And we're walking in sandals on these dusty roads. So I imagine that by the time I get to my destination, feet look pretty rough. Yep. Somebody need a mani-pedi? Yeah. Somebody need some help. But anyway, so they go to someone's home, and there at that home, the lowliest servant would wash the feet of the guest. And here Jesus is giving us an example, saying, though I am the Son of God, though I am King of Kings and Lord of Lords, though I am the Savior of the world, I'm going to perform the lowliest task and wash your feet. My God. Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Because when we come to Generation Church or wherever you go, in the home or in the family, guess what? We're called to serve one another. Amen. We're called to serve. Yeah. That's how I keep peace in the home, y'all. Yeah. I wash the dishes. Yeah. I will do all kind of menial tasks because I want to keep peace in the home. Amen? Yeah. Mom ain't happy. Ain't nobody happy. Somebody say amen. Come on, somebody. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So here... Anyway, that's one other scripture I want to point out to you. I just put it on the spot. That's one other scripture I want to point out to you. And I like this one from Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says this here. It says, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You know how you can be a servant? Just go about doing good. Holding the door open for somebody. Recognizing that when Robin gets here, she's dragging that little cart behind, getting ready to come in the door to set up for the cafe, somebody might need to hold the door. Amen. Sometimes some of the ladies are bringing trays of food and things like that. Some of those strong fellas might need to go grab it. Yeah. Looking for ways to do good. Because Matthew 5 and 16 says this here, let your light so what? Shine before who? That they may see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Let them see your good works. And you know what? It doesn't just happen here. It happens when you go in Harris Teeter or Food Line. It happens when you go in Walmart. It happens when you're going in a place of business and somebody's coming out and you step aside and hold the door. You see what I'm saying? It's a small thing. But oh my God, the witness it leaves behind. Oh my, 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 my. So we see Jesus is our model, y'all. He's our model for serving. A model par excellence. But let me give you something else. I had some fun with this today. The characteristics of a servant from the life of Martha. And I just got 7 here, though there's many more. I just pulled out 7 because I wanted to limit the time on this message. So I want to read to you from Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. It says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered her and said, "Martha, Martha, 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 you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken from her." I thank God for this word. Number one, a servant enjoys showing hospitality. Imagine this. It's Sunday afternoon. Jesus coming to your house. And he got at least 12 with him. So those of you that have entertained people in your home before, think about the things that you want to do to make sure everything's okay. You want to make sure you got enough food. Make sure the bathroom's clean. Got tissue and everything else, soap in the dispenser, things like that. All the clutter pushed away. You kick it under the bed or in the closet or under the kitchen sink. You get rid of the clutter. Okay? And I'm not going to say that because I'll get there for no fresh meat. I'm not going to say that. Anyway. A service to, so you got all these things you want to do, these things you want to accomplish to make sure that your guests feel welcome in your home and they won't talk about you when they leave. Okay? So a servant loves showing hospitality. And the Bible didn't say Jesus invited himself. It said Martha welcomed him into her home. Amen. She's like, "Come to my house." I imagine she was really excited about having somebody come to her house. Say, "Come to my, I want to serve you." And we'll find out why a little bit later on. Number two, a server easily recognizes practical needs and is quick to meet them. Yeah. One thing I know about serving under Pastor Josh is this. He recognizes practical needs. His eyes are always, if you're talking to him, his eyes are roving. When he's walking, he's thinking, and you might be walking alongside, and the next thing he's down this way. I'm like, "Where are you going, Pastor?" And so, but he saw a practical need and he quickly goes to meet it. That's a servant heart. I've seen that in theaters. Have y'all noticed by the drain, it was by the door, but now it's by that drain spout, a little rock, white rock. What's painted on it? Peace. Little things like that. Little things like that. You know, it's like, why'd she do that? She want people to come in and notice just those little details of things that say, "You know what? You got peace here."
Yeah.
My God. A servant recognizes practical needs and is quick to meet them. I want to go on. I want to go on. Number three, a servant tends to do more than is asked. How many of y'all on Wednesday night? Let me just put the Wednesday night crowd in here. Wednesday night small group. And after everybody's pretty much left and there's a handful of people milling about and it's like, okay, I'm ready to go. But there's somebody else trying to do, I mean, they're trying to do everything. They want to replaster the wall out there in the foyer. They want to repaint. I'm exaggerating, but it seems like they see all these little things that need to be done and they're trying to do it in a short amount of time. But the ones that don't have that servant heart are like, "You know what, I was ready to go 30 minutes ago." And I'll be honest with you, sometimes that's me. I'm dragging my wife, talking about, "I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. I'm hungry, I'm tired." And Galen's always picking at me because he said, after 9 o'clock, Pastor Rob, eyes start closing. Give me a old. Look at your neighbor and say, "Do you know anybody fit this description?" Now look at the other neighbor. And tell them, ask them the same thing. "You know anybody fit in this description? How about you, DeMar? Dontaine? How about you, Brooke? Do you know anybody fit that description?" All right. Number four, a server shows love for others in deeds and actions more than words. And I alluded to this point earlier. A server may have trouble actually telling you that they love you. But if you pay close attention to their actions, you're going to be like, they really care for people. Because they show their love in their service to them. They show their love in their service to them. Look at your neighbor again. Ask him this. "You know anybody fit this description?" They find it hard to just say, "I love you." But boy, they will, my God, they will do so many things. Some of the men grew up in the era when it wasn't proper to tell people how you felt. So if you ask daddy, dad, do you love me? Boy, I keep a roof over your head. You got food on the table, clothes on your back. What are you talking about? Look, he didn't know how to tell you, look. But he was showing it to you week to week, day to day. And he was tanning it high, too, when you got out of line. I know well about that. That's right. I want to go to my number five. A server views serving to be of primary importance. And sometimes that's misconstrued because people will think that a server is unspiritual. A server is not necessarily one that wants to sit in an intercessory group, necessarily want to be in the Bible study, but you'll find them behind the scenes doing all kinds of things. And so those that like the Bible study, those that like intercessory prayer will look at that person and say, you know what, they might not even be saved. Because they don't do things the way others do things. Remember what I said at the beginning? The gifts are to complete one another, right, not to compete. And so we all have a role to play. And just because somebody is a server and they would rather be behind the scenes, they would rather be down the hall, they would rather be back in the cafe, they would rather be wherever, and they're not in the intercessory group, they're not in the small group, they're not in this, that, or the other, does not mean they're not spiritual. Doesn't mean they're spiritual. They're not spiritual, I'm sorry. But there is a balance to that. Let me point that out. I noticed this morning that Deja's here. Stand up for me, Deja. Turn our way. Yep, I put on the spot. I get it all the time like that because he's usually my go-to. Anyway, I noticed this morning that Deja's here, but Deja serves in children's church as well as in the breakfast. And so she's here this morning. You know what that tells me? There's a rotation.
Amen.
You shouldn't have to serve every week in a row and miss out always. There's got to be a balance to that.
Amen.
There's got to be a balance to that. I'm trying to think of a scripture that comes to my mind that talks about balance in the word, but anyway, it's there and it'll float up somewhere later on. You need a balance. You really do. There needs to be a balance in serving, okay? You can't just go wholeheartedly all the time, serve, and never come aside. That's where it's at, Mark 6:31. Jesus said, come apart and rest a while after they had been out in ministry. Thank you, Lord. So there should be a balance where you come and you sit down and say, oh, I need to be fed today. Look at your neighbor and ask, you know anybody fit that description? Number six says this here. A server is sometimes critical of others who do not help out with obvious needs. Now, we're looking at this from the negative side of the server this time. Okay? The server is one that's doing all these other things. And when they look around and see 100 people and nobody helping, they start to feel some type of way because they're saying, don't they see I need help? Why is nobody help? Martha did it like this. Where's it at? Look at what Martha said. Lord, do you not care that my sister doesn't help me? Doesn't anybody care? And you know what? They may not show it like that, but they have a smile on their face. And on the surface, you'll never be able to tell that they're upset. But inside, there's some stuff going on. They're feeling some kind of way. Because here I am, doing all I can do to help the church, to help the pastor, to help serve people, and nobody is willing to help. I just want to let that drop. Number seven says a server sometimes accepts too many jobs at one time. Anybody have a problem saying no? Anytime they come to you, yeah, I can do that. And I can do that too. And you got your plate loaded. Whole bunch of irons in the fire. Here comes somebody else. Jazz, can you do this? William, can you do that? How about this, Alicia? Then we get stressed out and we get burnt out and we resent coming to the house of God because we got too many things going on and we done got out of balance. I remember a phrase from years ago. It says, duty without devotion leads to legalism. And when you get legalistic, boy, you lose your joy. I done lost my job before, and I was a mean Christian. And that ain't no good place to be. Serve the Lord with joy and gladness. Listen, if you got too many things on your plate, yes, you got to just start. You got to. For your own good. For your own good. And I'm going to get to later on about what you need to do about that. So to reiterate, I said at the beginning that there's more characteristics, but I only got seven here. But Pastor Josh is taking the time to post these on the website. So if you go to gc.life, you'll be able to listen, look at a list. Especially if something resonated with you. If something kind of like piqued your interest, rung your bell, go check that list out. I'm sure you're going to find some more things to help you understand you. So to recap, I hear a server enjoys showing hospitality. A server easily recognizes practical needs and is quick to meet them. A server tends to do more than is asked. Number four, a server shows love for others in deeds and actions more than words. Number five, a server views serving to be of primary importance. Number six, a server is sometimes critical of others who do not help out with obvious needs. Number seven, a server sometimes accepts too many jobs at one time. So Jesus is our model. I just gave you seven characteristics in the life of a server. And there's more than those seven, but that's seven. But now I want to take you from Bible days to April 22nd, 2018, Goldsboro, North Carolina. We're not in Galilee anymore. We're right here in Goldsboro. So what I'm going to do at this time, if you're able to stand and walk out from where you are, I'm going to ask some people to come up. And I'm doing that because I want you to see some people that are serving today. First, I want to ask Pastor Josh and the musicians to come take up their place on the stage, on the platform, with their musicians, with their instruments. Not everybody can play an instrument. Or maybe you play an instrument that we hadn't incorporated into what we do here. Ukulele, washboard. Beatbox. I want to ask the singers to come next. Maybe you don't fit in that category where you can sing. Can't carry a tune in the bucket. Sound like cat swallowing. I mentioned Gabriel. But there's more than he that is serving. We got some people on the cameras and they hidden. I think Emmanuel's back in that room back there. Denny's upstairs. Gabriel's upstairs. Kamar. Jasmine, they work on them cameras. James Moore is back there in the lot, out there in the foyer, and on the children's wing watching our back. Because in this day and time, everybody don't mean you well. They'll run up in the church house and shoot you just as quick as they will in the drug house. But we got some contingency plans in place. So he's serving in that capacity. Pastor mentioned about Cinco de Parco. Parking lot team is forming. Gonna set it off next month. I talked to Brooks this week. Come on up, Brooks. There's some other men that said, yeah, I'll be a part of that, Rob. I think Lonnie said so. Wanna come up with me, Lonnie? I talked to Adler. Come on up, Adler. I don't remember who else I sent a letter to. If I sent a letter to you, come on up here now. Anybody that I sent a letter to? Suri? This week, looking at your PK team. You know what, when you walk up to the door, there's a group of ladies standing there with a smile on their face. I know Miss Lena is one of them. Them greeters, where my greeters at? This is how I walk the way your greeters at. Y'all come on up here, greeters. Come on up here, greeters. I want to acknowledge you today. Hallelujah. I'm just talking about the people that are currently serving in various capacities in the church. Oh, I'm gonna call some more people up here, so we're gonna get bunched up a little bit. When you come through the foyer, if you got children, you're going to veer to the right and you're going to go over to the counter where there's some children's church check-in workers. If you're in that field, in that capacity, I want you to come up, whoever you are. I know Ellen is one, Daniel and his wife, Joseph. I know Jennifer's one, yep. People serving in different capacities. Before anybody else gets here, as I mentioned, Patricia and her team are already on site. Come on up, Patricia. They in there getting the grits and eggs ready. Sausage, biscuits. Because they know Pastor Rob on the way. He ain't playing. I bring the A-game every week. Okay? You know who else is here early? We got some intercessors that come into this sanctuary and begin to pray for you. Begin to pray for Pastor Josh. Begin to pray for the surrounding area. I want the intercessor team, Mr. and Mrs. David Nigga. Brother James Edie's already on the platform. Sister Kim's already on the platform. Sister Thetis on the platform. And in her absence, not because she's at home, she's not here today, Miss Joanne Young. We're serving on that team in that capacity. Coming to pray. Let me look at my paper. Gotta look at my paper. We got a youth ministry. And I know Galen is a part of that. Am I correct, Galen? Emmanuel is also a part of that. Am I correct? Because Emmanuel won't look at me. He hide. Anybody else a part of the youth ministry? There you go. Throw your hand up at him. If you can come out, come on out. If you can't, if you got to stay where you are, come on up, y'all. Part of the youth ministry. I'm talking about people that are serving in different capacities. That's all it is. Everyday people got issues, got problems, got something going on, got illness in the family, got something going on, but guess what they do? They put it aside and they say, you know what? I'm gonna offer a little service here. Some offer more than others, but they all offering some. Princess Protection, Serene, go on up, go on up. Lupe's not here. So Sheree is only with Chris, and they looking out for our girls, y'all. They looking out for our little girls. They protecting our princesses. They protecting them. Because you got wolves out there that want to devour the flock. But they're raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Hey. You know what? Miss Hiawatha's already up here, but we got some food bank workers. Second Thursday every month. Where you at, food bank workers? Come on up, those that are volunteering in the food bank. Miss Phyllis, faithful volunteer. Faithful volunteer. Faithful volunteer. Faithful volunteer. We got some prison ministry volunteers. I don't see that Rick is. Come on up here, Rick. Rick going there where the hardest of the hard is. Tell him about Jesus. Which, coincidentally, I was once one of them. But God had mercy. I think I'll tell my testimony right there. God reached way down and picked me up. Hey, he broke the chain. Woo! He broke the chain. He said it broke me. Woo! I feel like I can grow a hat. Woo! 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 That's what he'll do. You know what? We got nursing homes. Some people to go visit the sick and shut in the hospital. If you're part of a nursing home ministry or hospital visitation, come forward. Come forward. I go the second Tuesday of every month down the brook there and sing for the seniors. Go up in there and give them some of them old hymns. I will trust. You know what I'm talking about. I ain't gonna stop. In the Lord, I will trust. Talking with Demetrius this morning. I'm going to go ahead and don you with this here. We're talking about evangelism and outreach. Come on up here, sister. Come on up here. Talking about evangelism and outreach. Come on, Demetrius. Because we're getting ready to set some things off in the city of Goldsbury and beyond. Yeah, we're going to reach out to some people. We're going to reach out to some people. We're going to tell some people about Jesus. How many know there's a lost and dying world out there? People need to know about Jesus. You need to know about it. And since since I done called her name once and twice, I'm gonna call it again. Patricia and Stacy also serve back there CDs. At the end of the service, they are faithfully going back there, producing CDs, putting labels on them, and passing them on to you. You know what? We got a group of people that come up at the end of the service, part of the prayer team. And they come up here and they stand faithfully. Sometimes somebody will come, sometimes they won't. But they're in place, they're in position, ready to pray for you. I'd encourage you to utilize them. Because guess what? There's power in the prayer of agreement. Jesus said this here. If two of you on earth shall agree concerning anything that they shall ask, it shall be done. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Going on, going on, going on. I know Christy is part of the fundraising team. Who else? Come on up, Christy. She'll raise some funds. Amen. She'll raise some funds. Amen. She'll raise some funds. She ain't scared to ask to give the big ask. Will you give us some money? All right. Fundraising. You know what else? Every Wednesday night, we got a group of people. I'm sorry, I almost said it. We got a group of people faithfully, week to week, serving as small group leaders. If you're one of the small group leaders, I want you to come forward if you're not already up here. If you're not already up here, one of the small group leaders. If you're in the small group, one of the small group leaders, I want you to come up. You're leading the small group. Now let me call up my silent sentinels sitting in the back of every service, coming at Pastor Josh's beck and call with the bucket in hand. I want my ushers to come forward. Come on up, ushers. Come on up, ushers. Come on up, ushers. I want to thank God for every one of the people that are serving in a capacity. And this is what I want to let you know about. They are everyday people with everyday problems, with everyday issues. They got just as much going on as me and you. But they say, you know what? I'm going to join the army of servers. And I'm going to serve in some capacity at Generation Church. So I just went through a list of all the ministries here. And maybe one of those resonated with you. If it did, I want you to pick up another red card. Pick up another red card and a pen. And I want you to right now take a moment and think about, where can I offer my service? What can I do to serve the Lord in Generation Church? I want to ask everyone that I asked to come forward, give them a hand clap of praise, and y'all can take your seats now. And I thank you for your service. I thank you for your service. As they're on their way back to their seats, I want to ask you to fill out the red card, but I want to read something to you as you do. In closing, I heard about the recent passing of someone else, a very valued member of a local church. Someone's passing created a vacancy that would be difficult to fill. They had been with the church for a number of years, and every one of those years, someone did far more than a normal person shared the work. Whenever there was a job to do, a class to teach, a meeting to attend, one name was on everyone's list. Let someone else do it. Whenever leadership was mentioned, this wonderful person was looked to for inspiration as well as results. Someone else can work with that group. It was common knowledge that someone else was among the most liberal givers in the church. Whenever there was a financial need, everyone just assumed someone else would make up the difference. Someone else was a wonderful person, sometimes appearing superhuman. Were the truth to be told, everyone expected too much of someone else. Now that someone else is gone, they are wondering what they're going to do. Someone else left a wonderful example to follow, but who's going to follow it? Who's going to do what someone else did? As I mentioned, take up a red card. I want to challenge you today. You might not be able to do a whole bunch, but you can do something. And I want to encourage you to take that red card and that pen and put on that red card and that pen as a pledge, saying, Lord, you know what? I can serve you in this way. Take a moment to do that now as we sing.
I need you. You need me. We're all of
sing that. I need you.
I need
you. Sing it loud.
You need me.
We need you.
We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part.
If there's a prayer need that you have, something that you need from the Lord. Situation you need the Lord to work out. Let somebody pray with you. If you don't know the Lord, if you're wondering if this is real, I invite you to come and talk to one of these volunteers here. Come and talk to someone. We got the answers that you need. My Jesus, come highly recommend. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus. We all need Jesus. Won't you come? Won't you come? Still play. I just want to simply play a prayer of benediction over you. And the red card you just filled out, the ushers will be at the door. Drop it in the bucket. As we end our Wednesday night studies every night, we've been saying together Psalms 19:14. And if you know it, say it with me. Let the words in my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my rock, and my redeemer. May God